Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
That song just hits a little different on a playoff football Friday, doesn't it? We're going to call it a playoff football Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR on a Buffalo playoff football Friday, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. All right. Okay, this is the how we start every Friday with this song. But I need to even more get into this show. I need to get you into the show. This is, we're ready to do this together. We're going to hang out for 2 hours. We got to have the best show possible. We got to get ready for Sunday. Bills, Broncos. All right. So what better way to do it? I know you've heard it a couple times this morning. We're going to do it right now. Here's Kyle Williams, the legend of the game, to get us ready for Sunday's game and for this show specifically today.
On the way out, I'm serious. Grab one guy and grab him and tell him, you hold me accountable to the kind of focus we want, the kind of energy we want, the kind of effort we want. When you speak that out loud and you tell somebody and they hold you accountable to that, that's powerful.
Yes, sir.
I'm asking you just to talk to one. I'll stand here in front of 52. I'll play my out for you.
Yes, sir.
Every play, as much as I got, I'm going to give it to you. Tell one guy on the way out, all right? Let's go prove something to ourselves, the kind of team we can be. Defense, play 60 minutes, dominate. Offense, we get up, close the Bengal game out. Special teams, big plays for us and against them. Let's go, all phases. Let's be the team that we can be. Let's go. Pound that rock, go three. One, two, three.
Pound that rock.
Let's go! I'm 51 with a pacemaker, and I'm ready to go, baby. It's revving up. I can feel it. Pounding in that heart. Man, I gotta check my monitor, make sure I'm not getting too high here. Actually, I have the best, my pacemaker is great because actually it's set so I don't have my heart go too low. The higher the better for me. This is great. Josh is laughing over there. It's true. The higher the better. I gotta keep that heart rate up, baby. I'm gonna have Kyle Williams wake me up every morning. I'm calling my cardiologist today. And I'm like, hey, I'm playing Kyle's speech every morning. I'll have a high heart rate. I'm good. How can you not get up for this? How can you not be ready for Sunday? Playoff football in Buffalo. We're going to talk all about it today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in. Sal Capaccio with you. Oh, and did I scare you over there? I don't even know. You're over there going, what is Sal doing? He's crazy in that studio. I know, right? Welcome in, everybody. It is the Football Friday, Buffalo Football Friday. It's a playoff Football Friday. And we got a lot to get to today. Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, joining me in about an hour. Now, they do have a production meetings going on today. It's a national game. You got Jim Nance and Tony Romo and Tracy Wolfson in town for the game. Whether they're here or not, I don't know yet. But, I mean, they'll be calling the game. But I know they have production meetings with CBS and all those things. So we'll massage it as we can as we go along with Sean McDermott right around 11 o'clock today. And then at 11:30... Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist, will join us for the weather and the outlook on Sunday, which, as of right now, I'm thinking looks like good football weather. It's going to be cold. Not too cold, though. We've had colder. We are also going to talk about all of the other playoff games that are being played outdoors and the one that is getting moved, unfortunately. And we need to say all of our thoughts here go out to everybody impacted in directly, indirectly, but of course all those in the line of the fires at in LA, Pacific Palisades. I know a lot of people listening have family or friends that may be impacted, and I do as well, and we're thinking about all of them. It's a devastating, horrible, tragic situation going on in Los Angeles and the surrounding area, and the NFL has moved Monday night's Vikings at Rams game to Arizona, where the Cardinals play. So because of the fires and everything going on there, and, you know, giving a chance for first responders to do their job. So we'll talk with Pat Hammer about that, why this happened, why it's happening, what's going to happen, or at least, you know, what the outlook is for the weather there. And of course, we'll get into Sunday's weather here in Buffalo, and even talk about, because we do this, we are on the radio. We are allowed to look ahead a little bit. Other, you know, that the players can't, the coaches can't, we can. We will talk a little bit about if the Bills were to advance, what would next weekend look like? Because, quite frankly, I hear from a lot of people and say, Sal, thinking of coming up for the game if they make it to the second round. I think you'd want to know that, right? So there's a lot to get to on that front. We want to preview this game as well. And I've been really digging into a lot of the stats on both sides of the ball that some concern me for the Bills and some really encourage me for the Bills and their chances in this game. We will take your phone calls as well. 803-0550. Let's open it up. I have an hour of open phone lines here for you. An hour of open phone lines. And in between the open phone line segment, I'll get into the other playoff games, how I see everything kind of unfolding and shaking out, what it means for next weekend if the Bills were to advance. I have some more thoughts on the MVP race. Yes, I know it's done. Votes had to be in, ballots had to be in, but there's still a lot of chirping going on out there about Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. There's some other things. And I want to be the guy here today, as I try to do all the time, to bring a little common sense to this conversation and to even go more beyond what I talked about a couple weeks ago, which is let's stop bashing these two players and start really appreciating how great they both are. I'm going to go beyond that today. And what I want to talk about is, and I will a little bit later, what should matter and what shouldn't matter when it comes to MVP. Because a lot of stuff out there, people are telling me, oh, this should matter. Nah, that shouldn't. But this should, and maybe you don't. Here's what I think should and shouldn't. We'll do that. Speaking of bringing common sense to things, holy cow. This hiring coaches and the calendar, we got to talk about this a little bit. I tweeted out yesterday, at Sal Sports, by the way, on Twitter, Facebook, Blue Sky, and of course at the Sal Sports YouTube page. You can check all of our podcasts there with me and Matt Bove. It's always game day in Buffalo. I tweeted out yesterday that, you know, it's not just the Bills with Joe Brady dealing with interviews. The Ravens, Todd Monken, he's going to be dealing with interviews if they advance on and they're playing at the Bills. And there's no, what I wrote was, there's no easy solution to all of this. And I got a lot of people saying, oh yeah, there's an easy solution. Just have one date. They can't do it till after the season. No. Maybe easy is the wrong word for me. It's not fair. And I'll explain why it's not fair. And I'd like you to kind of try to work with me if you believe that that's just the solution that should happen and it's fair and it's easy. We need to do some critical thinking on this, and I'll explain why. The Denver Broncos are coming to town. They are traveling, my understanding, later today. The game is on Sunday. Head coach Sean Payton for the Broncos is very, very much about sports science and body clocks and rest and recovery and how that plays into game times and travel times and all that. And I thought that might be the case, so I inquired. And from my understanding, what I understand is the Broncos are traveling here tonight. They'll get in kind of late in Buffalo tonight. And then they'll be here all day tomorrow, wherever they practice, whatever they do. I'm not sure. They're not going to the Bills facility to practice. I could probably guarantee you that. I don't know. I don't know what that plan is. But I do know they're coming in later tonight. They'll be here all day tomorrow. And then the game is, for their body clocks, 11 a.m. on Sunday. There is data to show when West teams, West Coast generally, but this is a Western team, when West teams travel east for an early 1 o'clock game, they don't perform well. So, hey, Sean Payton is like, we don't want to be that team. We want to perform well. So he has in his mind how he wants to go two time zones to the east to play a game at Sunday at 1 o'clock. And that apparently involves traveling tonight to Buffalo. So just to kind of let you know, that's from their side. Also, I did read today, apparently one of the airlines has, United, I believe it is, has actually added a Denver to Buffalo flight tomorrow for Broncos fans. So we've talked about this with Bills fans in the past, how when the Bills go to Kansas City, or I think it was even Houston this year, that there were extra flights added. There was an extra flight added from Buffalo to that city for all the Bills fans. Well, apparently in this case, there's a bunch of Broncos fans coming. Hey, good for them. They're a good fan base. I have a lot of respect for the Broncos fan base. I remember growing up in the 1980s, just like the Bills, they went to Super Bowls and lost. They went to two and lost. Three. They went to three and lost, excuse me, before the Bills ever went to four and lost, right? They went in, let me get this right, they went in 86 and lost to the Giants. They went in 87 and lost to the then Washington Redskins. And they went in 89 and lost to the Niners, all with John Elway. So the Broncos had lost three Super Bowls, and they had won before that. It gave them four losses. That was in the 70s. But they had 3 out of 5 years they went to the Super Bowl and lost. And then the Bills went to their four in a row and lost. So you had these teams, these quarter with these great quarterbacks, and John Elway and Jim Kelly. And then they battled in the 90s in one of those years. The famous 1991 AFC Championship game, January of 92, when Carlton Bailey picked off John Elway on a screen pass he batted, ran it in, and the Bills won 10-7. In that game, their kicker, the Broncos kicker, David Treadwell, missed, I believe, three kicks. I have to go back and look. I think he missed three field goals. I have to go back and look to make sure. But, like, that was the difference in the game. I've had, all of this said, I just think there's always been this kind of kinship, maybe, if you will, between Broncos and Bills and the suffering they had. But then the difference was the Broncos went on and actually won the Super Bowl in the late 90s a couple of times. And those were Elway's last 2 years. And he finally got one for the class of 83 to represent for Jim Kelly and Dan Marino and that famed quarterback class. And they got their Super Bowls. And then, of course, later on, they get Peyton Manning. They go and lose one. They win a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. And in that time period, they also get an NHL Stanley Cup. And then a couple more. And then they get an NBA championship. So I think we're pretty far removed from what the 80s were like between the two cities and rooting for their fan base. And by the way, we also had the Bandits match up with the Mammoth in La Crosse. And I think they had 1-1, and then the Bandits had 1-1, if I remember correctly how it all went down. But we've had a lot of kind of similarities between the two cities. And then, of course, they started winning championships, and it's been a little bit different. But here we are again, the Broncos, they've gone through a 10-year playoff drought, and now they're back, and they have a rookie quarterback who is looking pretty promising. I've always had a lot of respect for the Broncos fan base, the Broncos kind of organization, and being, yeah, Denver's a bigger city, but it, again, it's not Chicago, New York, L.A. I think there's a lot to be said for how they treat and appreciate their team the same way here in Buffalo that we do. So, to me, this should be a fun game between two really good, passionate fan bases. That being said, the Bills are the better team, and they need to win this game. I have gone on several Denver radio stations this week and national radio shows, and I've been asked this question a few times, which is, are Bills fans nervous about this game? Or are they overlooking the Broncos and saying, okay, looking past them, they're going to take care of them. And my answer to that is, I think, of course, there's some in the fan base that go, oh, this should be easy. I don't think the majority of fan base, whatever. But some people are always going to have differing opinions at all levels on that. But as far as the nervousness, here's my answer on that. This is what I feel. And then you tell me what you feel. And we're going to take calls on this. 803-0550. I want to get your nervousness level for this game. Here's my interpretation from all of you. From what I read. At Sal Sports, other places. But we're going to get your calls on this. I describe it as, I don't think Bills fans are necessarily nervous about losing this game. Like the matchup itself. Sure, the Broncos pose some interesting threats, some tough matchups. There's no doubt. You know, great pass rush and Patrick Surtain. No doubt about that. It's not the nervousness of just, oh my God, we're playing the Broncos. I mean, that's going to happen if they play the Ravens, right? That's like, oh my God, can we beat this team? It's a terrible matchup. I don't think Bills fans think it's a bad matchup. I just think there's nervousness about losing the game and ending your season and having this utter disappointment after such a great season once again. After getting there in now 7 of the last 8 years and 6 out of the last 7 not getting to your ultimate goal, especially the last, 3-4 years, right? I just think that's where the nervousness comes in. It's not, oh my God, nervous. They're playing the Broncos. They're really good. Look at this quarterback. Look at that pass rush. Look at Sean Payton. Sure, there's a little bit of that in there that they do. To me, it's more nervousness of, you have a lot of pressure here. You got to win this game. This is pressure on Sean McDermott, pressure on Josh Allen, pressure on this organization to finally get to where you're supposed to go. And it's got to start this week against a team that you're better than, a team that you should put away, a team that you're 8.5, 9-point favorites against. That's where the nervousness comes in, I think, for Bills fans. To me, the Bills are the better team. They need to win this game. Simple as that. You get to this point of the season, you're at home, you're the better team, you can't lose this game. You can't. And I think the Bills will win. I think it could go one of two ways. I've envisioned it in my head as they'll keep it a little closer to the vest. Don't give the Broncos opportunities. That's their path to victory. Don't let them have the ball on a turnover, an interception, a boneheaded play, something like that. And, you know, you get out of there and say, workmanlike win. Let's on to next week. I could also see it going, the Broncos are going to try everything they can to be very aggressive and say, we have nothing to lose. And the Bills can take advantage of that and make big plays. And suddenly it's, 20-0 in the, at halftime, something like that. Right. Like that's just, it's a blowout. I could see both those things happening. It's hard for me to envision the Broncos winning, but there is a path there for it. And that's what scares you, which is it's not them themselves. It's not that team and what they pose as their threat necessarily. To me, it's just, you can't lose this game. And if you do, what does it sound like Monday morning when I walk in here and do the reaction show on Monday? That's what I think about. That's the nervousness. 803-0550. What is your nervousness level for this game specifically, whether it's the specific matchup or just overall, here we are again, here we go again, you got to get past this game. Let's get started off with Mike in Connecticut. Hi, Mike, you're on WGR.
Morning, Sal. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
First and foremost, I want to thank you for your time when I saw you at the Patriots game, signing my hat, having a conversation with me. That was a great experience. I just want to thank you for your time. In terms of nervousness, I'm actually at spur of the moment, live 8 hours away. I bought tickets yesterday to go to the game, so actually making the trip. But on a 10 being very nervous, 0, not nervous at all. I'm about a 2-3 right now, and the main reason I say that is when you look at the Bills from a health perspective, last year when the Bills were playing the Chiefs in the playoffs, I was actually at that game too. We have had both of our starting linebackers out, no Milano, no Bernard. Our cornerback one, Christian Benford's out. Rasul Douglas was basically on one leg. Just a lot of injuries for us that kind of piled up throughout the season, where this year, yesterday at practice, you have Brandon Codrington as a limited participant, and you also have Jamarcus Ingram, the only player, who did not practice. So my confidence level is, or I should say my nervousness level is very low, just from the sense that I feel like that the Bills play sound football. They have their guys. They're going to make the right plays. The only thing that does, present a little nervousness for me is Sean Payton and Marvin Mims on special teams.
Yeah.
This is the same Sean Payton that in the Super Bowl did an onside kick to open up the second half. And Marvin Mims being an all-pro returner, it's something that, that could swing the game in a direction against the Bills. But a question I have for you is, what is something that makes you feel nervous about this game? Also, something I looked at is Bo Nix hitting the running backs out of the backfield as one of his main targets. But I'll hang up and listen, but I just want to thank you for your time again at the game on Sunday when I saw you, and go Bills.
Yeah, you got it, Mike. Anytime. I appreciate people coming up to me and saying hello. Listen, I've said this a lot this week. Remember last week I said, look, We didn't know they were playing the Broncos yet. I said, if the Bills match up against the Broncos, you're going to hear me talk a lot about what you just did, Mike, which is Marvin Mims in the return game. I know it's a small piece, but that's where they're going to try and find an edge. That's where the Broncos are going to try and find an edge in this game, is special teams. The Bills special teams haven't been super buttoned up this year. They've made mistakes. They've given up big returns, kickoff especially, not as much punt. But Marvin Mims leads the league in punt return average, over 15. You can't give them shorter fields. You can't give them opportunities to get hidden yardage. That's a big nervousness for me. And then because of their pass rush, all it takes is one guy to get loose, swipe the ball out of Josh Allen, right? That could happen to any quarterback. So that would be something that would make me nervous. I'm not as much nervous about the running backs out of the backfield. I think the Bills should be okay there because I think this team does not run the ball all particularly great, and they can kind of be a little bit more zoned in on that. Thanks a lot for the call, Mike. Jim and DePew. Hi, Jim. You're on WGR.
Hey, Phil. Weird question. Thinking about the game on Sunday, the crowd being involved when the defense is out on the field, I know that the defensive players can't simulate cadences, but what if the entire stadium were to? Would this be kind of equivalent to the snowballs in the Miami game, or what would happen?
How would you get that to happen? How would you get everybody to simulate a cadence? They're going to be yelling. You want them yelling at the top of their lungs, not doing a cadence.
I mean, if the wave can start, why couldn't the whole crowd start going hut, hut, when they get up to the line?
I think it would be very tough to get 70,000, but that's probably, I think it would be very tough. No, I don't think it would be a penalty on the team. Do you remember? I don't know if you guys remember this. I remember at one point, this is the 90s, I believe, because I remember there was a Jim Kelly, like in a commercial, they were using him, like he wasn't like telling everybody to do this, but they were using him in the commercial to say something like, it was like, sit down, you're rocking the boat. There was like a song. Sit down, you're rocking the boat. That's what they did, this commercial. And there was a rule. There was literally a rule, Josh. I'm not kidding you. I couldn't believe the NFL did this. Thank God they got rid of it after 1 year. They had a rule that if the crowd got too loud in a home game, in a home stadium, the refs would have to say, you have to be more quiet for the visiting team to snap the ball, or they would throw a flag. I'm not kidding you. This happened in the 1990s for a year. And everybody was like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I paid my money. I want to help my team by being loud. And thank goodness the NFL changed that. Let's go to Rob in Cheektowaga. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Sal. How are you today?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I just want to say you are the best. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate the kind words. Go ahead, buddy.
I'm not really nervous about the game, Sal. I mean, our defense should be ready to play. I'm thinking maybe 3-4 sacks. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, that'd be great. Bo Nix, they do a really good job of protecting him. The Bills are the number one team in the NFL protecting their quarterback. Now, a lot of that is the quarterback himself, right? But they've done a great job at protecting Josh Allen. The Bills have, get this, great stat I ran across, they've allowed the lowest percentage of sacks on dropbacks. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Sacks per pass attempt, the Bills are under 3%. They get sacked on less than 3% of their dropbacks. No other team is even less than 4%. That's number one. But you know who number two is? The Denver Broncos, just over 4%. So you got to get to their quarterback, and they want to get to your quarterback. But I don't know how much either team is going to do that this weekend. Let's go to Marvin on a cell phone. What's up, Marvin?
Good morning, Sal. Yep. I'm very nervous about this game, and a lot of people dismiss this, but our defense – And we've come up with all these different reasons why, and they play that too high. If they keep, and every week I wait up, man, they're going to do something different. They're going to play a little bit more, man. They're going to play up. They sit back, and this guy's going to dump the ball off to the running backs. Meanwhile, our safeties are over 15 yards back. It makes me sick to watch at times. I'll be honest with you. I'm very concerned. I think coaching, they definitely have an edge because it's. I'm just going by history. We choke when it comes down to coaching. And at the end of the day, if our defense, and this is where somebody called in and your guys were saying, one of the shows was saying how Williams should, they love Williams. You're darn right he should be on the field. Milano is one step ahead of Klein right now where he's come back in. He's not the same person. He shouldn't. Williams should be in the game. And they should be coming up with some defenses different than the same old, and that's what they do every game. I'm very worried about it. I hope I'm wrong, but it's going to be closer, in my opinion, than I think, if they play the defenses. And it's mind-boggling to me that Every week I wait for them to do something different, but they don't. And it's like death by a thousand cuts. Oh, we don't want them to go deep, but they'll take 8, 9, 10 yep. yards in front of the safeties and corners. It's so sad to watch. It just makes me sad to watch it. But
well, you know what? It is their philosophy. They're not going to change, and it has worked. So that's why. And that's right. They don't want to get beat deep. They've been allowed the fifth fewest pass plays over the top of them. And in this day and age of the NFL, this isn't 1995 anymore, Marvin. I've told you that before. You know, I mean, this is a different era of football that you and I grew up in. These quarterbacks are incredible. They throw over the top. And right. I get you the numbers. I get it to you. The numbers are not, like, super good. There's no doubt. But that's how you play football now. You don't let these great quarterbacks beat you. And you want to play football like you're playing in 1995 again.
Well, Sal, and here's the thing. The owners of the NFL, when they have their meetings, they got what they wanted with
that's right.
football today.
That's right. By the way, wouldn't you want your coach to adjust to that and play it that way?
They put it the way they have with the pass interference
yeah.
that the officials have such a control over the game, it's sickening. I watched a college game yesterday,
yep.
and it made me sick, some of these calls. It just, these guys are not consistent.
Well, I don't know what that has to do with what we're talking about. I got to have other calls, you know.
Well, what it has to do with is that they wanted this fast game, and they did yep. it, but now you put it in the hands of officials, and
okay.
let me say, the officiating is not consistent. That's all I'm
know.
Saying.
So yeah, I got it. And I totally disagree with you about Matt Milano. He might not be old Matt Milano, but he processes faster than Dorian Williams, and he knows where to be. He might not be all pro Matt Milano. I agree with you, but you shouldn't compare him to that. You should compare him to what you have on the field now with Dorian Williams, who's had a nice year. He plays fast. He gets to a spot very fast, but sometimes he's in the wrong spot before he gets there fast. And I'm not banging on Dorian Williams. I think he's had a nice year. He's our leading tackler. I think I trust Matt Milano a little bit more here in the playoff game to kind of know where to be and not get beat. But that's a tough debate, and I'll give that to you, Marvin. And it's always also a tough debate, Marvin, on how you play this. Look, they play the too high shell, and no doubt they've been too soft at times. They certainly were in a playoff game a few years ago against the Cincinnati Bengals. But, man, I'm guessing, Marvin, if they went just and played a totally different defense and they got beat over the top three times, you'd be the first person to call me and say, why are they letting receivers go over the top of them? I mean, you know, you have to play it. You have to play these games against these opponents and the way the game is played, I think, a little bit differently than how you envision it. And the game is, look, to me, it's the more area, it's not even the secondary. I think they've done a good job. I think the defensive line being structured and being smaller and undersized has hurt them as teams have now started to run the ball a little bit more of them. I don't care about the keeping in front. I like that. I like keeping in front, make a play, because eventually you're going to make a mistake. What I don't like is giving up too many chunk yards on the ground, because it's designed to be a defense that's lighter and more athletic. And I do think that they get taken advantage of in that area more than they get taken advantage of in their zone defense. But it's a good debate either way. You can't have it both ways, I think. I mean, you want the number one team in the league and everything they do. I think it's very, very tough. Good call. I love when Marvin calls. We have good football debates. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a Buffalo Football Friday, and we'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
That 60 minutes when I'm out there, I want to win. I want to win the game. I want to beat the Denver Broncos. It's all love at the end of the day, but those small 3 to 4 second bursts, I got to go through these guys to get where I want to go. And it's kind of weird, but that's just how crazy the NFL is and the universe is. So instead of trying to fight it, I just embrace it. It's a cool event, you know, to be able to play against this new and improved, you know, Denver Broncos. The last time that they made the playoffs was the last time we won a Super Bowl. So it's a full circle moment, and it's nothing but love and respect for the Denver Broncos and Broncos country for sure.
All right, that's Von Miller, and I was on a Denver radio station yesterday, and they asked me about those comments and said, are Bills fans mad that he has so much love for Denver? I'm like, no, of course not. We love the fact that Jordan Poyer has a lot of love for the Bills. He came back here as a member of the Dolphins to play in Josh Allen's charity softball game and love Bills fans and say they're the best fans in the world. He's a member of the other team. I mean, I think it speaks to Von Miller's character that he loves the team that drafted him and, you know, he played for so long. No problem whatsoever with that. He wants to win the game, and he said, in those 3 to 4 second bursts, I'm going there to win the game. And yeah, so no problem with that at all. That was Von Miller. We have a ton of audio for you at our website and on our app, WGR550.com, and on the Odyssey app. Let's get to Ryan in Toronto. Then I want to touch on these coach hirings and MVP a little bit here before we get into more of the games on Saturday and Sunday and Monday. And Sean McDermott, after 11 a.m., a little bit after that, I'm thinking today, we'll get an injury update from him on the Bills. Let's go to Ryan in Toronto. Hi, Ryan.
Sad, my man. Happy Friday.
Yep, you got brother, it, buddy.
Josh Allen, MVP, hands down. No questions asked. Secondly, I wonder how Sean Payne matches up with McDermott. I'm thinking about going back to Carolina days when McDermott was in Carolina as a DC and Payne was in New Orleans. Do you know what the stats were, how they were matched up?
You know, I don't have it off the top of my head. I did actually ask Sean specifically about this the other day, though, Ryan. I said, you know, you've faced them a lot. What are the challenges? And he talked about all the different things they do. I'd have to go back and look at the stats. I will tell you, his first year in Buffalo, McDermott, remember the Saints came here and just blew the Bills out. That was the week before Nathan Peterman started the next game. And then you remember, though, the Bills went down to New Orleans on Thanksgiving and blew out the Saints. A couple years ago.
Yeah.
Excuse me. A couple years ago. I mean, you know, so I'm sure there's some back and forth there if you go back in their history.
But wasn't Joe Brady under Sean Payton as well?
You know, he was with the Saints, and I think he was with Sean Payton for a year or two, yes.
Yeah. I wonder how much Sean Payton knows about these guys. That's what I'm nervous about, to be honest.
Wait, how much Sean Payton knows about the Bills?
About McDermott.
Sure, I mean, like I said, I mean, there's, but yeah, sure, I mean, there's familiarity there. There's familiarity there. I would say the guy that would know more about the Bills' offense might be their quarterback's coach, which is Davis Webb. He was here with the Bills for a while, but you shouldn't get too caught up in that stuff. I mean, you know, these things happen every week in the league, Ryan, right, where these guys have these relationships and stuff.
The reason I get caught up in this stuff, to be honest, Andy Reid and McDermott in the playoffs. McDermott was, he was under Andy Reid in Philly. And that's what I'm concerned about. That's why I get caught up in this. I look at the bigger picture, and I just don't want to be outcoached, man. That's all.
It could happen. I mean, no doubt. I just don't think that there's any specific reason to think that Sean Payton has something over Sean McDermott or vice versa. I think, you know, they've faced each other a lot, and that's what happens. It's just like facing division teams, but they aren't in the same division, but they've gone against each other with, you know, offenses and defenses. So I don't. Yeah, there's that happens every week in this league, and there's always Davis Webb is a guy that would know a little bit about the Bills' offense, and I'm sure he's giving intel to Sean Payton and to Vance Joseph, their DC, on things that Josh Allen likes to do, doesn't like to do, what the Bills' offense likes to do. He was just here a couple of years ago. There's no doubt about that. And Joe Brady, he did learn a little bit under Sean Payton, so he'll be familiar with the offense. And hey, let's remember, Ronald Curry also here. He was with the New Orleans Saints. I think with Peyton, if I have to go back, maybe not. But, you know, these things happen and they translate, you know, back and forth all the time. Thanks for the call, Ryan. 803-0550. We do have open phone lines here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. It is brought to you by Salino Law, Car Crash, Call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. And, of course, today is a Buffalo Football Playoff Friday. The playoff game will be Sunday at 1 p.m. right here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. We have it covered all weekend long, and of course, Sunday morning, all your pregame festivities and talk right here on WGR. All right, MVP is done, right? I mean, all the voting is done. The writers, the voters. Somebody asked me last week, like, who votes? There's 50 votes. And I said, well, the AP. Well, it's not just the AP. There's ESPN people and analysts, and I think Dan Orlovsky has a vote. I believe I saw Aditi Kinkawabla at the game last week. She was on the sidelines for CBS. I think she told me she has a vote. Like, lots of different people have votes. Aaron Schatz has a vote. He shared his last year. He was the only person last year who voted for Josh Allen first in the MVP race. Lamar had 49 first. Josh had one last year. Aaron Schatz actually was the only one after, believe it or not, his publication, when Josh was coming out, called him a parody of an NFL quarterback prospect. I give lots of props right there and, you know, credit to Aaron Schatz for never holding on to those pre-draft biases and understanding and voting for Josh, whether he deserved it or not last year. You know, you think that that was the right call. I think this year Josh Allen should be the MVP. Now, look, I'm also going to tell you, I am certainly closer to the situation here, and I see what Josh Allen does for the Buffalo Bills. And from the outside perception and perspective for me, I don't think, as great as Lamar Jackson's season has been, that the Ravens have to lean on Lamar as much as the Bills have to lean on Lamar on Josh Allen. And I do think that has to be part of the equation. See, the word value is so subjective, right? That's where we get caught up in the goalposts moving. Last year, lots of Ravens fans would tell you that it's not about stats. It's about how valuable you are, because Lamar Jackson didn't have the best quarterback stats. Dak Prescott was up there. Brock Purdy was up there. Josh Allen was up there. There were a lot of guys. But he won the MVP, and we heard from Ravens fans telling you because he was the most valuable, and he was so big for what they did, and his stats were great. But now, we're being told it's about stats. And look at the stats. Let's try to parse here what should matter and shouldn't matter when it comes to MVP, okay? For me. Let me tell you what should matter. Stats should matter. But they're not the end-all be-all. And the question is, what stats should matter? So you can put up a graph all you want. Say, touchdowns, interceptions, rushing yards, touchdowns. Great. What about total turnovers? What about negative plays? What about percentage of that team's offense? There are a lot of different stats. And in this day and age, we have so many stats at our fingertips that we never had before. And it's very hard for people, including me oftentimes, to really distinguish what matters and what doesn't. I think that becomes so subjective that we can turn ourselves in circles and talk ourselves in circles all the time about it. Well, this stat should matter. Here's EPA. And I respect anybody who says EPA is a really informative stat. That's expected points, right? Expected yards per drive. There's all these EP stats, expected stats. But I also respect people who say, but it's also kind of subjective. Somebody put it together, a formula that says that. It's true. It's like passer rating. Passer rating is a formula that someone put together one time. And then ESPN said, let's go QBR because that takes in these other factors that someone didn't. It's always evolving. Stats should matter. What should matter is how much your team relies on you to win games and be in position to win games. What should matter is how much your team wins. No, it is not always, and it generally isn't, a quarterback stat wins. But if your team is relying heavily on a certain player, and that team wins a lot, that says a lot about how much he helped that team win. The Bills are sitting here with 13 wins. At the end of the year, they didn't play Josh Allen. They had 13 wins. That's the record, okay? In those 13 wins, they relied a lot on Josh Allen to be a very, very big part of it. And I'm not telling you that the Ravens didn't rely on Lamar Jackson. But if you go and look at their wins, and how much he threw the ball, and how much he had to run the ball, and what his stats during those wins, I think you could see a little bit of a difference on how the Bills had to rely on Josh. Those are things that should matter. And stats should matter. Of course they should. And Lamar Jackson has amazing stats this year. He's incredible. I would fault nobody for voting for Lamar Jackson, number one for MVP. I don't have a vote. I would vote for Josh Allen. And admittedly, I'm here seeing it through these lenses because I see it every week on the sidelines about how valuable and great he is. Here's what shouldn't matter for MVP, okay? Let's start with who won head-to-head. Who cares? Do they play defense? Who won head-to-head? Did Lamar Jackson stop Josh Allen when they played in Baltimore? Did Josh Allen stop Lamar Jackson when they played in Baltimore? Neither quarterback had anything to do with really winning the game head-to-head against each other. For winning the game, it did, and Josh did not play a great game that day. There's games where Lamar didn't play a great game. Who started at quarterback for the Raiders? Was it Aiden O'Connell when they beat the Baltimore Ravens? Are you going to say, well, who won head-to-head? Give the MVP to Aiden O'Connell. I think it might have been him. Was it Minshew? Whatever it was. Might have been Minshew. You can't do that. Head-to-head means nothing. Stop with this. Josh Allen has beaten Patrick Mahomes head-to-head in regular season games before MVP votes had to be in every year for the last several years. Even years where Patrick Mahomes won the MVP. Means nothing. Shouldn't mean anything. You know what else should not mean anything? In context, historical achievements. He's the first quarterback to do this. He's the first quarterback to do that. Great. Now, I do think that is a good reference point for how great of a season someone had. There's no doubt about that. But you should be judged on and compared to other people that year with you, not what has happened historically. I do think it elevates you and say, wow, that's pretty special. That kind of year has to be recognized. Let's look at everyone else did, though. Did other people do that same thing that year? And then you bring into all the other things I said should matter about MVP. It definitely shouldn't matter historic franchise records, right? I mean, yes, again, a good reference point tells you how nice of a season someone's having. That is not what the MVP should be about. It is the 2024 most valuable player this year. It is not the Lifetime Achievement Award most valuable player. I've heard people say, well, the only argument for Josh Allen is he's never won one. Bull. That is not the only argument. The argument is right in front of you, what I said. When it comes down to is his team, the Buffalo Bills, has leaned on him as much, or I would say more than any team has leaned on one player this year. And he's still put up incredible numbers and won 13 games. That's what it comes down to for me. I'm just tired of the back and forth of trying to parse through all these things that don't matter, especially this head-to-head junk. How dumb is that? Who won head-to-head? I mean, okay. What did the, let's see who the Ravens lost to this year. There's the game again. Oh, let's give it to Russell Wilson. He beat Lamar Jackson head-to-head. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? Let's have some common sense. Also in the coach hiring circle, we need some common sense. I'll talk about that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. On a Buffalo Football Friday, Sean McDermott scheduled for just after 11 a.m. to give us an injury update as well.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, I really wanted to talk about this segment, you know, the coaching hiring cycle and things like that, because I do think there's a point in here about how it works and what's fair and right. And I think it's getting complicated for a lot of people to not see it from a different lens. So I'd like to do that, but maybe not time right now here in the next couple of minutes, because we got to hit a timeout here and hit a break on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, because we want to be ready for Sean McDermott when he eventually calls. So that should be a little bit after 11 a.m. here on WGR. All right, so let's just reset the day for you, reset what's going on. Of course, it is Broncos at Bills. It is Sunday at 1 p.m. at Highmark Stadium. In case you didn't hear what I said earlier today when I opened the show, Broncos, from my understanding, are actually traveling to Buffalo late tonight. Sean Payton, their head coach, is very much about sports science, body clocks, rest, recovery, things like that. So they'll be coming in tonight for a Sunday 1 p.m. game, which is actually an 11 a.m. game Mountain Time, which is what the Broncos normally play on. They also have an extra flight booked out of Denver for fans to come to Buffalo. So expect some fans coming in for the Denver Broncos this Sunday. Shouldn't matter, though, as far as the crowd level and noise. It should be unbelievable at Highmark Stadium on Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m., especially with Kyle Williams, the legend of the game, who will be firing up the crowd by doing the right here, right now. And the chant before the game is going to be amazing. He's going to get everybody into it. Maybe he even talks to the team before the game. I'll ask Sean McDermott if that's the plan, to have Kyle in to talk to the team and say hi to people, maybe even give him a pregame speech. So we'll have the Bills head coach for you after this timeout here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo playoff football Friday.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, hour number two, 11:01 here in Buffalo. That means it's 9:01 in Denver. They're a Mountain Time team. Not a lot of big cities in Mountain Time. Denver's one of them, though. It'll be an 11 a.m. Ooh, you know what? I was getting confused here. I looked and I said 11 a.m., so it's got to be 48 hours from now. 50 hours from now, that's when the game will kick off, right? 11, 1 p.m.? Am I right? Am I doing the math right there, Josh?
It sounds right to me. Time math is always confusing.
I know.
It never works the way you think it does.
We are less than 50 hours from kickoff between the Buffalo Bills and the Denver Broncos. Excuse me. And I said last week, we're not calling it Super Wild Card Weekend anymore, I guess, which is fine with me. I never liked it as the Super Wild Card Weekend. Super is for the Super Bowl weekend. It's just Wild Card Weekend. They changed it to Super Wild Card Weekend when they went to the extra team, I think, right? And did the extra day and all that. I don't know. I never liked Super Wild Card Weekend. So much cleaner just to say Wild Card Weekend. And that's what we have here. Bills at Broncos. Broncos at Bills. Bills taking on the Broncos. Sorry, it's in Buffalo, folks. Don't worry. Highmark Stadium, 1 o'clock here. And it's going to be an interesting game for a few different reasons. Obviously, it is the playoffs, number one, but I mean for the matchup. You have a team in the Denver Broncos who, statistically, analytically, lots of the stats that you dive into, they are just really good on defense. And I was looking at some stuff today. The Broncos, number one in the league in fewest points per drive allowed, like less than 2 points per drive, 1.6, I think it is. They are the number one team in the league as far as getting after the passer, both in sacks per pass attempt and total sacks. Now, the Bills are actually the number one team in the league at protecting their passer, Josh Allen. A lot of that is Josh Allen himself. Last week, though, even Mitch Trubisky and Mike White, when they came in, did not get sacked against the New England Patriots behind a backup offensive line. The Bills are just, they've been very good in that regard this year. So I think that's one of the things, even though the Broncos have this strength, that the Bills can help neutralize them. What concerns me in this game would be, though, a big play from the Broncos defense as they made last year. You go back to that Monday night game last year, first play of the game. Remember, the Bills won the toss last year, took the ball, and on the first play of the game, they have an outlet pass to James Cook. He's on the sidelines, and they just raked it out of his arms. Fumble, Broncos ball. They converted with a field goal. Later in that quarter, Josh Allen hits Gabe Davis in the hands, bounces up in the air. It was a bullet, hit his hand really hard. In fact, I believe I saw Gabe's hand was bruised after the play. He threw it so hard. the next, you know, after the game or next day or whatever. And then the Broncos intercepted it. And then later in the game, bad exchange between Allen and Cook goes on the ground as well. That's the formula there. And special teams. Marvin Mims, number one punt returner in the NFL and a very good kick returner as well. They are a team that's going to look for an edge there. And the Bills have not been great on special teams this year. They'll have to be better than they have been to make sure that doesn't happen. And we're, of course, going to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott in a little while. He'll give us an update on the Bills punt returner, Brandon Codrington. That'd be a big loss if the Bills don't have him. My sense is, if you don't have Codrington, you have Khalil Shakir, you have KJ Hamler, one of them would handle punt duties, punt return duties. That would be my sense there. All right. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo football playoff Friday. Brought to you by Cellino Law. Car crash? Call Cellino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We will talk with Sean McDermott not only about Brandon Codrington, but also ask him about Jamarcus Ingram. He has missed two straight days due to personal reasons. Is he back with the team? Will he play or, you know, be available to play, I should say, on Sunday? If Jamarcus Ingram can't go, I would think that that would mean that Kyir Elam would get the nod, and we've seen Kyir play this year. We've seen him actually play in the playoffs. Kyir Elam has done his best work in the playoffs over the last several years. Big interception against Miami a couple of years ago that kind of swung that game, and then a big interception against the Pittsburgh Steelers when they got inside the Bills' red zone and got down, and he picked it off in the end zone. So, you know, if it has to be Kyir Elam, he'll be a reserve. And, of course, you have Christian Benford and Rasul Douglas. Everybody else appears to be healthy and ready to go. The Bills are as healthy as they've been in years heading to the playoffs. Maybe as healthy as they've been in this entire playoff run. And as healthy as any team is right now in the NFL. I'm getting your level of nervousness or confidence in this game here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So before we hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott, we'll bridge the gap here with some phone calls. Let's get to Frank in Williamsville. Hi, Frank.
So, nothing to worry about. No attention at all. No fears. The Bills will put up 30, 35 like they always do. The weather's going to be nice. Josh is going to be having a ride out there. And people just relax and watch you and enjoy it.
You got it, Frank. We got to get Frank and Marvin on dueling phone calls there. We got the two extremes from Bills fans. I love it. Love your confidence, Frank. All right, let's get to Julian in Buffalo. Hi, Julian.
Hey, what's going on, Phil? Before I dive into my question, just want to my favorite recent memory with Bills versus Broncos was Jerry Hughes on that fumble pickup. He got boogie, broke everybody on the defense, and took it into the end zone. Shout out to Trey White for that Tomahawk strip.
Yeah, I remember that was the COVID year. It happened on a Saturday. We on the radio side couldn't travel that year because of that, so I was actually in the Bills broadcast booth. We were calling the game remotely, and that win sealed the Bills winning the division that year.
Yep, beautiful, beautiful. But so my question, me and my cousin, we do a little pod, and every year at the end of the season, we like to do like our player of the years for the Bills only. So like your offense, defense, comeback player, rookie of the year. We already know who's MVP for the Bills is obviously Josh, but I would love to hear from you, Sal, yep. Your player of the year for the Bills.
Okay, I will do that after this timeout, if you will. It won't be a timeout. We're going to get to the Western Hotline as Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me right now.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
And Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, Coach. Happy Football Friday to you.
Good morning. Happy Football Friday to you as well, Sal.
All right. So, you know, a Friday before a playoff game. I mean, you know, your team has been in the playoffs 7 out of the 8 years you've been here, but it still's got to feel a little bit different for you, right, as you get a little bit closer?
Oh, it does. It's everyone's a little bit different. You know, you're fortunate when you're able to get in the playoffs for so many years, even before coming to Buffalo. Yeah. Very, very grateful for it and the experience that comes from it, and really looking forward this weekend to a great environment, being in front of our fans, being able to share this experience with our fans at home here in Orchard Park.
And before I get to the injury report, we'll do that in a second. Just on that note, Coach, I mean, how do you balance making sure you do stay consistent, stay with your routine? Everybody knows this game is different, but you also have to approach it as if it's just another game. What is that balance for you and your team, and how have you kind of had to figure that out over the years?
Well, I believe you evolve over the years, right? You're always trying to, you know, figure out how you can put your team in the best position to perform at their best. And then you learn every year. And I think when you do that, it really sometimes comes down to consistency and trying to get the players in a spot where they're calm and can execute at a high level.
All right, Coach, let's get to our Barnes Firm injury report. It is brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. A couple of guys we've been monitoring, Brandon Codrington and Jamarcus Ingram. Those are the two notable ones, but you can tell us whatever you need to about today's practice and where those guys stand.
Right, so Brandon Codrington will be questionable. He'll be listed as questionable with the hamstring. We'll see how he does today. Other than that, I think we're in a pretty good spot.
Okay, is Jamarcus back with the team today, Coach?
Jamarcus had a new baby, and
okay.
We're happy for him. And I should add, I should take the time to add just our prayers that go out to all those in California dealing with what they're dealing with out there. We can only imagine how tough that is. So, yeah. Jamarcus is back and good to go.
Yeah, thank you, Coach. I know, and you know, as I said earlier today, everybody here probably listening, people you know, people in your building, your family, you might know somebody, chances are you know somebody, you know, impacted by what's going on in California. It really puts everything into perspective, and I know the league has had to move the game to Monday, so thanks for sharing that. And also, thanks for sharing that about Jamarcus. That's very cool, and I'm glad that Bills fans know that it was for a really good reason that he was away from you guys for a couple of days. All right, Coach, so let's talk about this game and get into it a little bit, the Denver Broncos. You know, you don't get into the playoffs without being a really good football team. You look on the defensive side of the ball, they lead the league in sacks, they lead the league in, you know, sacks per pass attempt. What's the challenge of going against a very, very good front?
Well, when you're built at the way they are built, they're built the right way. They've got a great defensive line, and they have a number one corner. And usually when you have those two combined, you have a chance to have a great defense, and that's what they do. They have a really good defense. They get after the quarterback. They're able to stop the run, and then they're able to take away, because of their number one corner, your best receiver, and that's a good combination.
And then, of course, they're going to be looking to take the ball away. I remember last year, the Monday night game here, they started off the game, the first play of the game, they took the ball away. There was an interception later. There was maybe a miscommunication on a handoff later. How even more important when you're playing an aggressive defense like this, knowing, hey, they're going to want to come here and be aggressive and take the ball away, is focusing on ball security this week?
No, that's huge. It's huge every week for us, but in particular this week, we term it protecting the house. We've got to do a great job of protecting the house, making great decisions at the quarterback position, and taking it one play at a time.
And then, of course, on the other side of the ball, you have a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix who doesn't seem like he's playing like a typical rookie right now, and I'm sure that's helped out a lot about a Super Bowl-winning coach in Sean Payton who's on the sidelines with him. What have you seen from his evolution through the year and especially the last few weeks, Bo Nix?
Well, people look at it as a rookie quarterback, but in the AFC and the way Bo Nix is played this year and the experience, quite honestly, he picked up 6 years of experience in college at a high level. You know, it's high level of competition right from the start of the playoffs in Wild Card Weekend here in Buffalo. And I think it's a great example of what the league is and how hard it is to win in a wild card game like this. And you're saying, hey, this is a really good team, you know, a highly ranked defense, and they've got a great punt returner in Mims, a Pro Bowl punt returner, and then the way their offense has been playing, it's going to be a heck of a challenge for us here.
I'm glad you brought up Marvin Mims. I was going there next. He's been one of my focuses, talking about this game when I break it down. He's really excellent. Over 15 yards of punt return, number one in the league, and all pro, as you say. You know, just kind of talk about how important that aspect of the game will be this week, and especially dealing with, you know, Brandon Codrington as well for you guys, and how much that particular aspect and phase of the game is going to be so important this weekend.
Right. Well, there are three phases to every game: offense, defense, naturally, and then special teams. And in this case, you know, you want to win at least two of the three. And special teams is a big factor week to week. You know, their return game is elite because of, in particular, Mims. And actually, they have two really good returners. So it'll be a big challenge for us. It's important that we are able to play a complementary type of game with all three phases working together.
All right, Sean. So speaking of protecting the house, Kyle Williams is coming back. And this guy gives speeches that really want you to protect the house. We played one a little bit earlier in the show, and I wanted to go out there and play with him. I'm not going to do that, but I wanted to go out there. I mean, it's amazing what this guy can do for you when you're listening to him talk and get fired up for a game. But I also know he's meant so much to you and your coaching career and this organization. How cool will it be to have Kyle Williams here in this weekend firing up the crowd? And will you have him talk to the team before the game itself?
All great questions, and I say that because I'm very aware of who Kyle is and those speeches. I've been around those, and like you tend to get pretty jacked up and fired up after hearing them. And you know, those are the same kind of questions I've asked myself: should we have him talk to the team? Should we not? He is a true legend and an ambassador for Buffalo and the Buffalo Bills. I think when I see Kyle, and I'm looking forward to seeing him here, I'm just interested to see if he got paid to come back here or if he's doing it on his own accord, right? So I am actually going to catch up with him tonight for dinner.
I love it.
I love him. I love his family. And, man, what a great, as I said, great ambassador for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think fans are so jacked up and fired up to see Kyle. The minute it was announced by the Buffalo Bills, I mean, I heard from a lot of fans that said, oh, my God, like, I can't wait. I want to be there. I want to be inside that stadium. So it's going to be really cool. Before I let you go, Sean, you have Joe Brady, who's getting some requests. You confirmed that earlier this week as far as head coach interviews. I want to ask you about him. And if you could also touch on what Terrence Gray and Brian Gain have meant to you and your staff and these guys, just a little bit of you know, maybe love for them, I guess, and all that they've achieved in having these opportunities.
Well, I mean, good things come to those who work hard and are good people, and I think all three of those individuals fit that bill. They're good people. They work hard. You know, and then when you've been successful as an organization, people look to those organizations to you know, pull from the you know, their candidates from those organizations and teams. So it's the natural evolution, I guess, of having success, and I'm happy for all three of those guys and their families.
All right, Sean. Well, I think I speak for many, many people listening, if not all people listening, where I'm really looking forward to talking to you again next week. But good luck on Sunday, and hopefully we'll make that happen. Thanks a lot, Coach.
Sounds great. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. The big news today, Brandon Codrington questionable with that hamstring injury. As I've said about Brandon Codrington, everybody, this is not a player that has to necessarily go out there and scheme and be a part of game planning all week to practice to play. Sometimes that's the case where, hey, this guy, he might be able to be ready health-wise, but he hasn't game planned all week, so he doesn't know the game plan. This is a return man. Yes, there are things in the return game you need a game plan for. It also is, for him specifically in this position, most likely, hey, can we get him ready? Go out there and return punts. Catch the ball. Do your thing. So let's hope that's the case. Special teams may be a big factor in the game on Sunday, considering who's on the other side of the field against the Bills and Marvin Mims specifically. Jamarcus Ingram, congratulations to him. Had a baby. So there you go. That's why he was away from the team for a couple of days for personal reasons. And yes, I'm sure Jamarcus Ingram has to be involved in game planning, but there are ways to make sure he understands what the game plan is and do those mental reps and get ready, and that he'll be there today at practice, and then he'll be tomorrow for their walkthrough on a Saturday. So let's see if he is active and activated, or I should say active for the game. Now, if Codrington can't go, it's a great question on who would be the backup return person. To me, from the way I've watched this team all year, it would be Khalil Shakir or KJ Hamler. If it's KJ Hamler, he'd have to be elevated from the practice squad. So I'm just going to say this. If tomorrow at 4 p.m., you hear and you read that KJ Hamler was elevated from the practice squad to the active roster, that doesn't necessarily mean Brandon Codrington is out. It could mean he's a game time decision. It could mean they want one more day to make sure he's good, make sure he doesn't have a setback. It could lean towards Hamler being available to return punts. If you don't get KJ Hamler elevated tomorrow, it also doesn't mean that Brandon Codrington is good to go, because you do have Khalil Shakir and able to return punts. So my guess is they might want to do that, considering how healthy they are everywhere else around the roster. My guess is you might get KJ Hamler elevated tomorrow, because at least then you're in a spot where, hey, let's wake up Sunday morning, make sure Brandon Codrington's okay, let's evaluate that, and if we need KJ Hamler active for the game and we don't want to put everything on Khalil Shakir, then we're able to do that. Who's the other player elevated for the game? Could be Casey Tuhill again. Could be the newly signed, re-signed Ili Ankou to the practice squad. Who knows? I'll be interested like you are tomorrow. But with the roster very much healthy otherwise, you know, you don't have to go you don't have to go too deep into the practice squad to think about who it could be. I think there's just a select guys that, you know, you might want up on for game day. Rules for the NFL. The practice squad elevations reset. You still only get two as a team, but every player can individually be elevated unlimited number of times every week, in case you were wondering. Okay. So I said earlier, and I wanted to get into this a little bit. I mentioned to Sean McDermott, Joe Brady is getting interviews for head coaching position. Brian Gain and Terrence Gray, Brian Gain assistant GM, Terrence Gray director of player personnel, they're getting interviews for teams' GM positions. Good for all of them. This is what happens in life. One of my pet peeves, but I try to not make it a pet peeve, but it can be sometimes, is when I get a lot of people or some people asking, well, why would the team want them to leave? Why would they want to leave? They have a great situation here. I ask you to try to think critically here and put yourself in people's shoes who have careers. That being a head coach is the absolute pinnacle of someone's career in coaching. It is astronomical money, yes, and a lot more than you can make as a coordinator generally, but that's not even the most determining factor. It's literally being a head coach. There are 32 of those in the world. People work their entire careers to get there. And when that opportunity comes, generally you try to take advantage of it. There have been times where people have said no. It happened last year. Ben Johnson, he had a chance. He didn't go. I think even a couple of years ago, Brian Daboll might have, you know, said no to one. But look it. There's no shame in, and in fact, let me rephrase that. I applaud and would think any organization, whether it's football or anything in life, would encourage and want their employees to be able to better themselves. Would it suck to lose Joe Brady? Of course. Would it suck to lose Terrence Gray or Brian Gain? Of course. They're instrumental in what the Bills have built. But Sean McDermott, I'm sure, would also be very happy for Joe Brady if that happened for him. And the organization would. And especially, I think Brandon Bean would be thrilled for Brian Gain, who did leave for a general manager job once for the Texans and came back. After that didn't go great in that organization. And for Terrence Gray, who's worked his butt off his whole year to be a GM, his whole career, I should say, to be a GM. But as far as these timing of these interviews, I've gotten a lot of people questioning, how can the league do this? There's got to be a better way. That's not fair. It's not fair to have these guys distracted. Look, I said on Twitter, it's not an easy solution. The better word should have been fair. There's no fair solution. I, again, ask you to think critically here, okay? Take yourself out of the team that's losing the coach. Take yourself out of the team that's getting the coach interview. Put yourself in the position where we have been too many times in Buffalo of the team needing a coach. You're going to tell a team that they fire the coach because it didn't go well after the regular season? They got to wait 5 weeks for interviews then to wait after the Super Bowl? No way. The Senior Bowl is already happening by then. The Combine is happening right after that. Free agency, draft visits, the draft. They have to get a staff in place. Colleges are asking these guys to come and be college coaches, and they have options here. Like, you got to put your staff in place. You got to put your program in place. Well, it would be a level playing field, Sal. No, it wouldn't. It might be a level playing field with the six teams that need a coach. What about the other 26 who didn't fire their coach? They're already got all their programs in place. You would be way behind. I at least ask you to think about the other side of it. and why it isn't fair for a team. Someone tweeted at me today. Well, they didn't like it. They can wait on there. If they didn't like their coach and fire him, that's on them. Okay, what if their coach retired? What if there's a medical reason why the coach stepped down? There's a lot of reasons why you might move on from a coach. Not just firing. It's generally the case. And then for the player, the people themselves, totally not fair. And there is no evidence whatsoever that suggests virtually interviewing, which is next week, by the way, for Joe Brady or any other head coach candidate, Todd Monken for the Ravens, he'll be doing the same thing next week. There's no empirical evidence I've read that says that it actually has an impact on how that team performs the following week. It's unfair to them not to be able to have that opportunity, not to be able to interview for those jobs. Now, if the team wants to hire them, they do have to wait. You can't hire them while they're actually coaching still. They can wait. You know what happened a few years ago? Brian Daboll interviewed for the L.A. Chargers job a few years ago. I don't know if you guys remember this. This was, who was the Chargers coach after, hold on, they just had, who am I thinking of? Hold on. Who am I thinking of the Chargers coach right before, it's escaping my name right now.
Brandon Staley?
Brandon Staley, thank you. I knew you had it.
I didn't know where you were at with that.
Okay, when Brandon Staley was fired, I want to get the actual year. Was that 2021? Brandon Staley, okay. Here we go. Sorry, folks. Just want to make sure I get this right. He was the head coach of the Chargers in 2021, yes. So in 2020, Brian Daboll was interviewed for that job. If you remember, the Bills beat the Ravens at home to advance. Basically, the next morning, Brandon Staley was hired by the Chargers. I'm here to tell you, I'm pretty sure, based on everything I know, winning that game for Brian Daboll actually cost him a head coaching job with the Chargers. They didn't want to wait. They wanted to get the program in place, and I get it. It's unfair to the people applying for jobs if they have to continue to wait. But if you win, that's the cost of it. You will have to wait, but teams have to make their decisions. There is no fair solution. The Bills did propose a rule a couple years ago about waiting. I don't remember exactly when it was, maybe another week. I understand it. I get it. I just ask you to put yourself in the position of the person who's trying to reach the ultimate goal in their profession, the pinnacle of their profession, their personal and professional life, which is being a head coach. Not everybody wants to, but pretty much most of the group here does, most of the group that coaches. And put yourself in the position of these teams who, you know, it could be your team that needs a head coach at some point. And you don't want to wait. You got to get your staff in place. You got to get your head coach in place. You got to get your program in place. If you want to overhaul everything, you're going to have to completely change the entire NFL calendar, which you can do. But again, Senior Bowl, East-West Shrine Game, Combine, Draft. Like, how do you not have a head coach for all that stuff? You need one. You need a staff. You got to start creating a vision. So that's why I say there's no fair solution. We will take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Football Playoff Football Friday Extra Point Show, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. That means we'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire, here's Patrick.
Have a time.
And joining me on the Western Hotline is WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist Patrick Hammer for his weekly Friday radio spot here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And we hope not the last, of course, looking maybe for a few more weeks. That would be great. All right. But we got a wild card game coming up between the Bills and the Broncos here on Sunday. Pat, good playoff Friday morning to you, pal. Oh, did we lose him? He dropped. All right. Pat, we'll call you back. We're going to get Pat back. All right. So listen, we're going to go through all this today with Pat Hammer. We got two games on Saturday. Tomorrow that we'll be talking about, but really one, because one's in a dome in Houston and the other is in Baltimore, which I think they have really good weather there in Baltimore. It's pretty warm, actually. We'll get with Pat on that. And of course, Sunday with the Bills, and then Sunday two other games, and then Monday night. All right, let's start this over again. Pat, happy football Friday morning to you and playoff Friday morning. Oh, I can't hear him. You got him? Okay. Pat, we're having trouble connecting with you. Maybe we can do it on the other line. I don't know. All right, we're going to do that right now. Okay, we're going to try it one more time. Hold on. Here you go. We're going to try one more time, Pat Hammer, and maybe you can call him. Pat, we'll give you a call back. Sorry, folks. We were hoping to get Pat. We're hoping. It's third time a charm. Hold on. It's third time a charm. We got, what, Sunday's Packers at Eagles, Commanders at Buccaneers, and, of course, Monday night is going to be the game that gets moved from L.A. to Arizona. Can we try this one more time with Pat Hammer? I don't know. Pat, are you there? It might be on our end here. I don't know why. Let's use the normal caller line for Pat Hammer. Where are we going to do, Pat? We're going to put you on the normal caller line. Our hotline isn't working. Something happened. Sean McDermott's interview was so great, it kind of fried up our hotline is what had happened. So, Pat, we're going to call you back in a little while. Let me start with those games, though. We'll do it that way, and then we'll get Pat on for the radio interview. All right, Chargers at Texans. Here's the thing. I find it hard to go against the two favorites tomorrow. The Chargers are the favorite. The Steelers are the favorite. I find it hard to go against either of them, but I do see a path to victory for the Texans. I'm sorry, the Ravens are the favorite. I do see a path to victory for the Texans and the Steelers. The path for the Texans would be their pass rush. They have a very good pass rush, and we know that Justin Herbert's been banged up at times this year. The Chargers can run the ball a little bit. They've been better at it. They're not an incredible running team. I think that the Texans, because of their defense, and then a little C.J. Stroud magic at home, because I know he hasn't had the best year, but he is still a really talented quarterback. That could be the way. Nico Collins, of course, could be a game changer. I am still going to pick the Chargers. Could be a little closer than you think. Same thing with the Ravens and Steelers. I'm still going to pick the Ravens. Hard to go against them. The path to victory for the Steelers, though, line one, right? We'll go. You got it. Okay, you bring him up. We're going to bring up Pat Hammer right there. I hear the click, so I think we got Pat. But I could see the Steelers keeping it close as a division game and having familiarity. Pat, the bat signal is up. Are you with us, pal?
The fourth time is
yes.
A charm.
Thank you. Hopefully. Thank you. I don't know what happened there. Our apologies. That must have been on our end, and I apologize for that. So thank you for staying with me and all the listeners out there. I also apologize to you, but thank you for sticking with us. Happy Playoff Football Friday to you.
100%. So excited, thrilled. You know, I feel like this game, I've been waiting for this game for about 3.5 weeks, right? And I'm kind of like, let's do this.
Yeah.
The lead up for, you know, meaningful football has been a while, so I'm very excited for Sunday.
All right, Pat, let's do it this way. Let's start with the most important and absolutely, obviously, terrible and tragic situation that's going on in L.A. The game has been moved between the Vikings and Rams because of the wildfires, but just from a weather and holistic and humanistic standpoint, let's talk about this and why this is happening, what it is like out there. And I know you have a very, very big connection to that area.
Yeah, I'm from Northern California, but I went to college not far from Pacific Palisades, and know a lot of people in the area, family in the area, evacuations a part of it, and I'm just now learning of those that I know well that have lost homes. There's been a few of them, but you know, you're just finding out now because they don't have a way to get a hold of you, or they put it out on social media, what have you. But it's a total tragedy. The aerials that we've all been seeing look like, I mean, worse than a war zone. I mean, it's just everything's gone. And I think the movement of the game makes sense to make sure that everybody available to provide assistance is available for that purpose and not others. And so it's a very sad situation in Los Angeles.
I get this question. I don't know. I'll ask you. How did these things start like that? There's like five of them going on, right? I know how they can continue to grow because of the Santa Ana winds. How do they start?
Okay, they start by something silly, like I don't know, something as simple as a cigarette butt, or sometimes some kind of scraping of metal on the road, whether it's like a truck that scrapes against a guardrail. Sometimes it's an electrical line. But sometimes the spark is something so simple, and it starts in like somebody's backyard, or it starts on the side of the road, and these winds, I know it's cliche, but it's rocket fuel, and it just makes these fires explode. And the thing about Santa Ana winds, which are it's the wind direction, it's wind blowing from Santa Ana, which is inland, out towards the ocean. That's why it gets its name. Farther north, it's called the Diablo wind. The wind is worse at night, so that's why these fires tend to explode overnight, and the winds tend to slacken during the day. But the fiercest Santa Ana winds occur at night. Then it's sometimes hard to see. You can't really control them from the air at night too well either. So it's really hard to get a handle on them when they take off.
Yeah, what's in store now? I mean, obviously already complete devastation, but what about the weather outlook now out there and what it looks like over the next, couple of days to try and get these things under control?
Santa Ana winds are going to come back periodically over the next 5 to 7 days. We had a weak Santa Ana wind event this morning. There will be another one Sunday, and then next week they don't look to be as menacing as the Santa Ana wind event from Tuesday. But these kind of offshore dry winds are going to continue with no rain in sight. Rain would help. It hasn't rained in L.A. in months. So it's a perfect a combination of all of these things. And then, of course, fires in Southern California are a natural thing sometimes. But now we all live in fire country. There's so many homes now in the path of potential fires. So. And then it burns out to the coast, and then it nowhere else to go. So it's happened before. It's happened in Bel Air in 1960s. It happened in Laguna Beach. It's happened in the Oakland Hills in the Bay Area. It happened in Paradise, California in 2017 near Chico, where Aaron Rodgers is from. He was involved with that cleanup. So these are a part of the California experience. But this is just beyond the one that just happened.
Yeah. Well, all of our thoughts, obviously, with people in California and this what's unfolding there. It's just tragic to see. Of course, the game between the Vikings and Rams has been moved from SoFi Stadium in L.A. on Monday. They will still play Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But that game will be in Arizona in Glendale, where the Arizona Cardinals play. Prior to that, on Sunday, let's work a little bit backward here.
Yeah.
You have the Packers at the Eagles at 4:30 p.m. in Philly, and then the night game, Commanders at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday night. What are we looking for? Any weather impact in those particular contests?
It's kind of nuts. Given all the crazy weather that's happened this week, or is happening now, where you have snow in farther southern latitudes, a couple of big storms this week, the weather looks decidedly quiet for Packers and Eagles. Clear skies. It will be chilly. Temperatures in the low 30s, light winds. And then for the Commanders at Tampa, it's going to cloud up a bit. But there in the 50s for temperatures, again, light winds. But it will be cool in Florida as well.
Yeah, they don't know how to handle 50s sometimes. It's too cold for them in Tampa, right?
it's crazy cold when it's in the 40s and 50s there.
All right, so we'll start off with Saturday. Obviously, the game in between the Chargers and Texans is in a dome, and I would expect that to be closed. If there was a weather issue, they would close it. So we'll skip that one. Go right to Steelers at Ravens tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
Luckily, despite weather surrounding the Baltimore area, it looks fine. Clear skies. It'll be chilly. Temperatures in the low 30s. There will be a little bit of a wind there, 10 to 20. But again, none of these games have really any impactful weather occurring, which is, it's amazing given how active the weather is actually right now. It's going to really quiet down this weekend.
You say luckily. I wish there was weather there. That would give the Steelers a little more of a chance, right?
You're right.
Even that's all right, though. Hey, you never know. All right, let's get to Sunday right here, Orchard Park, New York. Broncos at Bills. What are we looking at? Let's give us starting Sunday morning tailgating into the game and beyond.
Yeah, last week I said that there's something brewing for this weekend. There is a little something-something that comes tonight, so the game is going to be fine. We do have snow on the forecast tonight. For the game itself, I would not rule out, if you are tailgating, a quick snow shower, okay? This would be before the game. There is a little weak band of lake effect snow that may kind of move southwest to northeast up the shoreline. So if there is a brief snow shower mid to late morning, do not be surprised. The game itself looks fine. It looks like a very quiet day. Some clouds, temperatures right around 30, and very light wind. So, it's kind of a boring weather game compared especially to playoff games that we had last year with all the snow that led up to them. Not the case Sunday.
It sounds like it's almost a carbon copy of when the Colts came here and the Dolphins came here for these wild card games.
Oh, my. I remember that game vividly.
Yeah.
It was cold. It was in the – you had sunshine and you dressed for cold, but all of a sudden I was peeling off layers. I couldn't peel them off fast enough
because it felt so warm in the sun. It's just like that game against Miami.
All right. So I know that players and coaches, they can never look ahead. You're never allowed to do that. But here on the Northtown Automotive Football Playoff Friday Extra Point Show, we are allowed to look ahead, because what if the Bills do win this game? They will play at home again next weekend. My sense is they would play Sunday based on how the NFL does it. But what would Saturday and Sunday look like next weekend in Orchard Park?
Okay, and I'm not saying this to get you to tune in for sure on Friday, but we're sniffing something out for next weekend, and I'm saying that the signs are there of cold air coming down across the Eastern Lakes during the middle of next week, and then something brewing in that cold air as a little warm air sneaks in for Sunday. I have my eyes wide open for the potential of some active weather next weekend, and especially on Sunday, okay? Yeah. Some of the long-range charts that we look at, and remember, again, days away, they have a snowstorm on Sunday's charts. You can't buy into that wholeheartedly at this point. Things change, things move around, and you don't look at a weather chart from 10 days away and marry yourself to it. But that's what some of them are showing. So just our radar is up for the bat signal is up for next Sunday for sure.
All right. Well, let's get through this one and hope that we have a game to talk about next weekend, whether it's Saturday or Sunday on Friday next week. My man, as always, thanks a lot and appreciate what you do. Look forward to talking to you next Friday before the divisional round.
That conversation will happen.
I got it, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you. Okay. All right. Bye. That is Pat Hammer, WGRZ-TV2 Chief Meteorologist. We will take a timeout. We'll come back here and briefly wrap up the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show in a Buffalo Playoff Football Friday. All right. All the talking's been done, right? I mean, we got some more talking coming up after my show, after this show. We got Sabres Live, by the way. Pretty cool. They won last night 4-0. Nice game. And then, of course, it's One Bills Live. And then Shope and the Bulldog, I'll join them at 4 p.m. today. Then you got Sports Talk Saturday tomorrow. And then, of course, all of your pregame coverage, everything you need here, starting with Breakfast with the Bills and moving on to, you know, Bills Game Day, Roundtable, kicking off at 1 p.m., the game. We're here. It's a football Friday. It's playoff weekend. It's a wild card weekend. Broncos at Bills, 1 p.m. on Sunday. I want to thank Pat Hammer for coming on today and Sean McDermott as well. I am anticipating talking to both of them again next Friday before the Bills prepare to play their divisional round playoff game. Enjoy the game this weekend. Enjoy the games tomorrow. Remember, if the Ravens win, they will come to the Bills. If the Steelers beat them tomorrow night, the Bills get the winner of who won the earlier game between the Chargers and Texans. So everything matters. Everything's on the table. It's going to be a fun weekend. Enjoy it. I'll talk to you on Monday.